This is Wrestling Informant Radio, WrestlingInformant.com. How's it going, everybody? Gary and Chris back for another week. How's it going, Chris?
It's going good, man. How you doing?
I'm feeling better this week. You might hear my voice. I want to apologize. I listened back to the show last week, and it wasn't perfect. But this week, I should sound much better to the listeners, I hope. But I do want to apologize because, you know, we try to pride ourselves in good quality, and good quality is not me choking up to death on the show. So other than that, I'm feeling good. How are you, man?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm just glad I'm not sick.
I know, man. Definitely.
It's going around, though.
Yes. It is definitely going around. Real quick, as we always plug it, WrestlingInformant.com/membership. It's $2.99. We're throwing out some various podcasts throughout the week. We try to do more when we can, but right now we're at about two or three a week, and that is just that's a shoot right there, man. It's the honesty.
Yep, it is,
and we are looking to add more as schedules permit. Chris and I do have two full time jobs, and when like 100,000 of you guys subscribe, then we can quit our jobs. It'll be great. But all kidding aside, WrestlingInformant.com/membership. It's just a small way to show us that you want to support us in some way monetarily, and in return we give you some podcasts and access to our entire shoot interview archive dating back to 2007. There's a lot of gems in there. It's not something you can just go and listen to all in one day. It'll take you probably weeks to go through all those interviews. Again, finally, the address is WrestlingInformant.com/membership. And Chris, I think we ought to start off the show today with the Survivor Series, because let's face it, Raw was fairly disappointing, and obviously we're going to have to get into it, but I'd rather talk about the better stuff first.
Definitely. Let's get into it.
All right. So Survivor Series really built around a one-match show. We talked about this last week. You know, they really put all their eggs into the basket of Sting,
Freudian slip. Yep.
He was obviously the highlight of it. Well, in addition to the main event, but
right.
I got Sting on the brain. We'll talk about that because I have a lot of things to say about that. So it was built around Team Cena and versus Team Authority. You kind of knew what you were getting in terms of, you know, the other matches really, with the exception of Bray Wyatt and Dean Ambrose, because I really thought that was just a really good match.
It was.
I for once, Chris, enjoyed or understood the DQ finish, because Dean Ambrose is the kind of guy where, you know, he doesn't care about winning against Bray Wyatt. He just wants to kick his butt. I mean, let's be honest. He wants to kick his butt
they just want to fight.
Because he took away the Hell in a Cell win for him. And I think that it made sense for the character to, it served two masters. One, that obviously they're trying to set up for a TLC match, and they did that very well. But also, I just think that he doesn't care about winning. He wants to beat this guy up. He wants to beat him down and leave him laying there, and that's exactly what happened. So, exactly.
It served a purpose, and it's feeding into the TLC.
Exactly. So that's all I've really got to say about that particular match. But so the show is really built around Team Cena versus Team Authority. I mean, and I thought, because they kind of pulled out all the stops, they kind of gimmicked it up as much as they could, where, you know, if the Authority loses, they're out of power. If Team Cena loses, everybody on the team is fired except for John Cena. I mean, this thing was gimmicked up to all hell in terms of,
it was,
you know, all that kind of stuff. So
crazy stipulations on both sides.
Yeah, so I mean, that's fine. You know, that was just fine. And I thought that for the kind of formula that they use in that one match, I just thought they really delivered on it. There was a couple things that stood out to me. In terms of, like, why Big Show felt the need to knock out John Cena. Big Show, he's a guy that has, this thing called an ironclad contract. If you're paying attention, back in 2012, what was it? Big Johnny gave him a ironclad contract.
Yep. Johnny so, Ace. Yeah. I forget which pay-per-view. I don't know if it was Payback or something like that, but
either Payback or Over the Limit or one of those.
He helped Johnny Ace beat John Cena in their match, and People Power kept going.
Yeah. So this was like 2 years ago, and we're the only idiots that are dumb enough to remember this stuff, but last year he was worried about his job? In 2013, the Authority kind of just, you know, talked him down.
Right. They talking about how he's bankrupt and lost his house and they bought it back for him and all kinds of crazy financial angles.
Yeah, I mean, for what? He's got an ironclad contract. He's got guaranteed money coming in.
Forgettable. I guess it's forgettable.
Chris, what does ironclad mean? Tell me what ironclad means.
Ironclad, define it for me. Ironclad means that his contract is set in stone. Nothing can go over it. It is exactly what it says it is. It cannot be broken. It cannot be swerved. Legal teams can't get around it. It is what it is, and it is set in stone. That is ironclad. That's
exactly
it. Cut and dry.
Exactly. So why is he afraid of his job in 2013? Why is he afraid of his job here to where he's like, oh, I need to knock out Cena to ensure the match for the Authority? It's just like, come on, guys. Like, and Big Show, he's a guy who's turned, what, 25 times in the last like couple of years? I mean,
I'm trying to think who's turned more than him.
No one.
No. Nobody.
No one. I mean, Big Show holds the record. I want to see a Guinness Book of World Records do a serious, legitimate, trying to figure out how many times or who holds the most times for somebody turning babyface or heel. And I guarantee you Big Show is going to be like right there at the top of the list, man. If somebody can give me a better example, go right ahead. But I think that's where the buck stops there, man. So
he's got longevity, too, because you can go all the way back to 1998. Even
before then, 95.
Oh, yeah, his WCW run as the Giant.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, God, it is in and out of the NWO.
So, I mean, it's, I don't know, it's just, you know, they don't care. There's no attention to detail, man. It kind of really irks me, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's a shame, too, because I can see the Big Show being one of those guys that can really do something with his character, but they give him all this stupid crap.
It's always stupid stuff. Always.
I know. It seems like that's the running theme with the WWE. And it's not the talent. It's absolutely not the talent at all. It's these stupid, gimmicky, sticky characters and stories. And
Vince's funny ideas.
Oh, yeah. His knee slapper ideas. Yeah.
I'll tell you what I really loved. Well, there's two things I really loved that had to do with Triple H and Stephanie. The first one, obviously, was at the end of the show with her absolute meltdown in the ring.
Yes.
And Triple H just selling it like, what the hell just happened? So obviously, I've jumped ahead there, but I'll go back now. The beginning of the match where Triple H and Stephanie were actually standing on the apron with their team, like they were ready to be tagged in or something. Right. I thought that was a nice touch.
No, it was. They did it well. Even the announced, even I don't know if it was Lawler or JBL, they pointed out and said, what, are they tagging with them now? They're in this match, too.
I loved it. I thought it was just a nice touch. It was like these guys are ready to stand by their team.
And yeah, they are.
It's the little things, Chris, that I really enjoy. And then there were, of course, at the beginning of the show, just to tie it all in with this whole Authority Cena stuff, they did like a Raw-type segment, which was very interesting. Here's the thing. Here's the only thing about it. They chose to announce the Cena stip on SmackDown, and maybe for whatever reason they want to get the ratings up before they move to Thursdays, for whatever reason. But for me, I personally would have recommended that they had done the announcement on Monday for the go-home show. I would have enjoyed that. But anyway, I feel like they did this segment at the beginning of the show to show people who don't watch SmackDown to catch them up on what was going on. Like, it was like this whole, like, refresher, as if all these videos, you know, had nothing to do with it.
Oh, my gosh. Watching the pre-show, like, 9 million videos.
Yeah.
Just 9 million videos showing. And that's really all they focused on was the stipulations for these two matches. That was it.
Yeah. That was it.
It's like, nothing else. They didn't care about anything else.
But the thing about it was, the one cool thing about it was you had Vince. He's not on TV much anymore, so to see him come out and the crowd kind of really, you know, ate it up, I mean, I thought that was cool. That was a nice touch.
Yeah, and that's how you do it, too. It's not an on-air, constant authority figure.
Yeah.
That's the thing, and that's something I know we're going to get into later with Raw, but, yeah, him not being there, like, ever.
Yeah.
At all. It makes it more of an impact if he shows up and then makes such a big announcement and then he's gone.
Yeah, the less of him on TV, I think the better, because when he does come in, you know, when he does come back, it makes a big impact. So anyway, I know we're jumping from the beginning of the event to the end of the event, but back to the main event itself. Again, I thought the match was really good. And then we got to the part where, you know, Big Show knocked out John Cena. He has this Ironclad contract, obviously. We've gone over this. And also Alex Riley on the WWE pre-show Raw. Here I am jumping around again, but Alex Riley on the pre-show Raw talking about Big Show and like, man, he's just trying to support his family, and you know he's fearing for his job. It's like, why? I tweeted him like, why does he need to fear for his job?
Ironclad contract, man.
Oh God, I just want people to go to these shows and just hold up a sign that says Ironclad contract or something. Like, don't you people remember? You know, come
Ironclad. Ironclad.
Anyway, so Big Show knocks out John Cena. He leaves the ring, so he gets himself, you know, counted out. And now we're left with Dolph Ziggler versus Luke Harper, Kane, and Seth Rollins. And then, of course, obviously, you know, Ziggler in very convincing fashion. Excuse me. In very convincing fashion, gets through Harper and Kane through this, you know, through the, it was just like this close call, like almost like he could not, you know, like almost like he was not going to do it, but he did do it. He did push through. And then it's down to Rollins and Ziggler. And it's like the future of the company is riding on the shoulders of these two guys, these two young guys. And they just had a nice back and forth. I really enjoyed that.
Oh, that was incredible. And it just goes to show how much faith that they have in those two guys to give them that platform, that situation in front of the world.
Yeah.
It just goes to show that they really do think a lot of these two guys.
Hey, but the internet says they're burying Ziggler, so go figure.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Although I thought it was funny at the beginning. Of course, going back, see, I'm jumping back and forth, but... The beginning of the match when Triple H and Stephanie were on the apron and they're fired up Mark Henry, and then Mark Henry runs towards Big Show and boom, he's out, and then they're just like, their faces just drop.
Yeah, that was
great. I laughed so hard at that.
And I'm surprised that Ryback was the first to go for Team Cena, man. All the TV time he got, I was very surprised by that.
That was weird.
So it's down to Ziggler and Rollins, and I'm just like, wow, man, like what a spot these guys are in. Like this is great for these two guys. I mean, I really was happy for them that they were in this spot, and Ziggler's trying to win, and he gets so close, and then Triple H pulls the referee out of the ring.
I was like, I knew it.
Yeah, and then another referee runs down, and Triple H stops him, and then finally gets Scott Armstrong.
Yeah.
And of course, Michael Cole's like, oh, God, of course it's Mike or Scott Armstrong. And then there was a part where Triple H, or before Scott Armstrong came out, and Triple H is like, you know, beating up on Ziggler and
he pedigrees him.
He pedigrees him, and Michael Cole's like, oh, God, why does he just count him himself? And JBL's like, I'm sure he's going to do that, Maggle. I'm sure he's going to do that, Maggle.
Of course.
And then Armstrong runs out, and then before Armstrong can get the three, the lights go out. Here comes Sting. We got the little video on the screen. Sting's face, a crow, various just black and white flashes on the screen, and out walks Sting in a 30-minute brisk walk to the ring. I'm just like, wow, man, he is just taking forever to get to the ring, and I'm sure it's by design. But yeah, and what was up with his hair, man? That hair was like vicious.
It was weird. It was, I don't know, I was like, I couldn't look away from it. It was still very awesome to see Sting, but just looking at his hair, I'm like, what the heck?
Ugh, man,
couldn't
that was
figure
rough.
Figure it out. I'm like, oh, man.
Like, man, you couldn't dye your hair for the pay-per-view?
Right.
Do the Kevin Nash and just dye your hair?
Exactly. get the Just for Men.
Yeah.
Have guys like CM Punk pointed out in a storyline.
Oh, man. Yeah, so that was... I was popping, you know. The whole crowd was going crazy, and this is what I'm surprised. I have to ask you. I mean, if you knew for a fact Sting was going to be there, would you have gone?
If I knew he was going to be there, yeah.
Well, you knew Friday. It was out Friday. He was going to be there.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, man. All the internet got it right. How about that?
Yeah, see, that's why
first time for everything.
Yeah, I guess so. And that's why I have a hard time getting behind the internet, because there are all these rumors and I just don't get behind rumors at all.
Hey, AJ Lee was totally leaving after Survivor Series, right, guys?
Oh, she was?
Yeah.
Oh, she was?
Hey, she got squashed. That must mean she's leaving. Then she's on Raw and I think on SmackDown, and yeah, so there's a whole thing.
Everywhere else. Yeah, everywhere else.
Be careful what you believe, guys. I'm just saying.
Take it all with a grain of salt.
There it is.
That's why I like being surprised, and I was truly surprised. And when I saw, I had a feeling like something's got to happen. I didn't know what. I honestly did not know what. I'm thinking something's got to happen.
I just cannot believe they were right there. That was Sting's first appearance in WWE, and you were not there. That just blows my mind. You could have been there, but you chose not to go.
Could have been there.
Oh, man. That blows my mind.
God, it was 10 minutes away from my house.
Jeez, Chris. What is wrong with you, man?
Ugh.
That's crazy. All right. So Sting walks out, and he and Triple H have a stare down. It's like legit, like, what, 3 minutes almost?
Easily. I'm surprised they didn't go longer.
They're just staring there, you know, looking at themselves, looking at the crowd, you know, that whole thing.
Yeah.
And there's a part like where Triple H is like, "What the F are you doing?" or "Who the F are you?" or something like that. It was something
like, "What the F are you doing here?"
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah.
And then he tries to attack him, and Sting gets him with the death drop. And that's it, man. He lays him out, and he puts Ziggler over top of Rollins. The original referee wakes up and counts the three, man.
Yep, and Sting walks out.
Yeah.
And Triple H is done in the ring. He is just laying there.
And the internet is a buzz. I know our website traffic spiked big time. And
it did.
And then it comes to Monday. And if you look at the rating in the first hour, 4.734 million. They killed the first hour, man.
Wow.
But it's a big but, man. It's you know what is there to say? They completely killed any momentum they had. I mean, look at this thing. So they open up the show, and Michael Cole is like, "It's a new day, everybody. It's a new day." And then you hear the Authorities music. Well, it's not a new day.
Yeah,
this is
right.
This is the first thing you see on every Raw, right?
Every Raw.
And I knew they announced they were going to give their farewell address, so that's fine. I mean, I give them a little bit of leeway there, but I did think it was funny. I was like, "It's a new day," and then you hear boom, time to play the game. I was like, "Oh, okay, it's not a new day." And then they kind of do their thing where, you know, they're just talking about the people you will wish we came back. You know, you're going to regret. Beware of what you wish for and all that kind of stuff. And
we're necessary and.
Yeah.
You can't do anything without us. You can't live without us. Blah, 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 blah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then we get the return of Daniel Bryan, which I have to say, now, Triple H had already talked for about 15 minutes here. And Daniel Bryan comes out, and his segment lasts another 15 minutes. He got 30 minutes of talking. Although it was long-winded, I do like this use of Bryan. I thought that, you know, for all the stuff they put him through in a storyline perspective, to have him be the guy who kind of gives him the final look, you know, and screaming yes in their face as they're leaving, like that, you know, from a storyline perspective, I kind of like that. I thought this is a good use of him, and who better to send them away, you know?
It was only fitting.
Only fitting.
Only fitting. It was the only appropriate thing you could do is they're going away, Daniel Bryan basically pointing and laughing.
Yeah,
in his own way,
and screaming but, yes right in their face, yep. And then
all the way up the ramp too.
Yeah,
stops them both, gets in their faces a couple of times.
And Vince though backstage, he went back there, and Vince is waiting at the car. He's like, you know, yeah. Get in the car. And he's like, the only thing I'm
Everyone's sorry.
He's like I'm not. He's like, I'm not an angry man, and I don't apologize for anything. And then there was the whole thing about. I don't regret anything or whatever. And then he's like, the only thing I'll regret is having to have Thanksgiving with you two. Get in the car. It's like, wow, man, that's crazy. So, and then we got the Daniel Bryan talking to every member of the Authority's team. And he was going to have Seth Rollins team up with, well, there was a fan's choice. It was like, what was it, Mark Henry and Kane, or Mark Henry and Luke Harper or something like that. And then
it was
J&J Security.
You're right. Yeah, it was Kane and Mark Henry, or with Kane and Rusev. And then, yeah, J&J Security.
Yeah, and of course chose J&J.
Exactly. I mean, you got the Dean Ambrose called his cruiserweight division.
Yeah. No, that was good. Yeah,
very comical.
Yeah, and it was, and let's just face it, it's cool to see Noble and Mercury like a part of something. I've enjoyed them ever since they kind of came back and was a part of the Authority and all that. So,
right, because I thought they had some good stuff when they were back in day when they were on SmackDown.
Yeah, I mean, and it's kind of cool just to see them, you know, back in the fold doing something else and kind of being put in this whole, you know, main event Authority thing. I mean, that's, you know, that's kind of cool.
It is.
And then we got Concessions Kane.
Oh God! If you thought Corporate Kane was bad, oh jeez.
I liked Concessions Kane. The only part I liked of Larry the Cable Guy there was when he went up to the stand to get a hot dog, and he's like, "I like it with a lot of mustard." And then Kane puts the mustard on Santino. And then in a very straight face, hands a hot dog to Larry the Cable Guy. He's like, "I'm a big fan." I'm like, wow, how about that? Like, that was, you know, that was all right. And I think on SmackDown, he's going to be a T-shirt salesman.
Oh, my God.
I feel comfortable giving away that spoiler because it's not like a major story arc. But
No, it's comic relief. Kind of like, it was funny how they did the callback to Dr. Shelby.
Oh, yeah. And I will announce that Daniel Bryan will be the GM of SmackDown for Friday night. And I'm only spoiling that, well, because WWE spoiled it on their website today with the Daniel Bryan sit-down interview with Michael Cole. So there you go. But yeah. So Daniel Bryan's going to be the GM on SmackDown Friday as well. So if you liked him on Monday, then you get to see him again on SmackDown. But by the way, though, what was it? Rusev was told that he either had to do a battle royal with a U.S. title or recite the national anthem or something.
It was the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance
with the American flag hanging down behind him.
With the American flag, and he didn't either, yep. And they didn't enforce
right.
it.
Right, that was kind of silly because even Dan Bryan said it twice. He's like, "You're going to do the battle royal against the entire roster,
yeah,
or say the pledge." And then of course he brought Sergeant Slaughter out to kind of help them both along.
Yeah. And instead we got Swagger who ran down to stop all that. So yeah, I mean that was the whole and Mark Henry had to face Ryback, and Ryback just killed him, didn't he, or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. It was a quick. Pretty quick match. Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Nothing to scream home about.
Yeah. And so that, I mean, that was pretty much the whole Authority, Daniel Bryan part of Raw. But the overall show, Chris, I mean, I found myself not having a whole lot to say about it because it's just not, there just wasn't so much to it.
Not really. You think for one of the big four, a post the night after on Raw for a big four pay-per-view show would be a little bit more worthwhile.
And I'm not even saying that you have to have, you don't even have to have Sting on the show. But there's a different way you can do it to where you're not necessarily saying he's not going to be here, or you can kind of speculate a little more. I didn't like the fact that they showed Vince leaving the show. What, 10 minutes in, 15 minutes in? Like,
it was early. Yeah, it was early. It was after the first segment.
Because people will, you know, look at that, like, oh, well, Vince is leaving. There's nothing more, like, super important that's going to happen tonight. Not everybody's going to drop off, but, I mean, look at hour one to hour two. Hour one, 4.374 million, and then hour two drops down to 3.992 million. I mean, it's not a gigantic drop, but that's pretty significant.
Right. I think it would, maybe it would have been better just to have Triple H and Stephanie just leaving.
Yeah.
And maybe Vince sticking around or something, but, yeah, to see having them take off in a limo.
Yeah, the whole family.
Just all dejected and.
Yeah. What do you think of Fandango's new look?
I don't know. I really don't know.
Yeah, it's.
I mean, we got Fandango and his tango, or Paso Doble, whatever. I don't know. Whatever it is. And then he got the stupid bunny.
But they took away, like, his big music. I'll get to the bunny in a second.
I know.
They took away Fandango's music. It's what people, like, really, you know, followed him for,
cool,
right?
Right. Yeah, that, no, it was catchy. That was the cool part of it.
So
it was
what
that kind of ballroom dancing and just kind of everybody got into it. And,
so what's going to make people care about him now? That's what I want to know. What are they going to do with him?
Nothing. They're going to bury – it sounds like – it looks like they're just going to bury him in mid-card obscurity.
And
even lower than mid-card obscurity.
And when is the bunny going to take off the damn mask?
Oh, God. That stupid bunny.
I'm not a fan of the bunny. I got to be honest.
No. Adam Rose had a cool thing going in NXT, but then it just got completely destroyed.
Yeah.
On the main roster. That's a shame, too.
Well, it's just like you watch the Divas match from Sunday.
Yeah.
It's like you saw Paige and Emma for a couple of minutes in the ring fighting, and I'm like, man, these two girls tore down the house of that NXT show back when the network launched.
Yeah, a couple of them. They did a couple of matches.
Well, no, I know, but I'm talking about like the big one that most people saw.
The title. Yeah, it was the title match.
Yeah, and I'm like,
yeah.
There was a time where these girls like tore down the house, and they were like really awesome. And I'm not saying they're bad now, but like,
that's a match you wanted to see on that stage.
Yeah, and it's just when they get to the main roster, there's no emphasis on that. So there's nothing. I mean, there's nothing that, you know, draws people into it.
And that's a shame too, because those women are so talented. Now that could have been a match of the year candidate.
Yeah,
in WWE. That's how good it was.
Yeah, man. You know what? What was it? Last week we got the question, or maybe the week before, where somebody asked me, "Who do I want to see get pushed?" I was like, "The women's division." You know?
Yeah. A decent. Heck of a lot better than what they're getting now.
I'm not gonna bang the drum again this week like I did last week or the week, whichever week it was we were asked the question. But
yeah,
it's just, man, when you look at like what the match they had there, and I know NXT serves a different purpose. It's the developmental grounds. It's, you know, stripped down to the basics. It's not entertainment. Well, it's entertainment, but it's not. You know, it's different.
It's like fundamentals.
Yeah. So, but still, I mean, that doesn't mean that you come to the main roster and just kind of like slack off.
No. And I think,
I'm not saying they're slacking off necessarily, but I mean, like, from creative standpoint, it's like, you know, the
right.
These ideas are not very intriguing.
Well, I think I'm Triple H, Paul Levesque. I think he has final say over NXT.
Yeah, but does he have final say over what these NXT people that come over to the main roster do? I think
the answer
is probably no.
No, absolutely not. And that was my point. It's like Triple H has the control because that's his thing. I think he's got control over that, and you can see what happens because you got other people on Raw and SmackDown, I guess Kevin Dunn, but you see it all watered down, it all kind of blends together. It doesn't differentiate from itself.
I mean,
and then you see NXT. It's the younger guys, it's new guys, it's refreshing. They haven't been through the system.
Well, it's possible that maybe Vince just doesn't understand these characters, and you know, he just kind of wants to put his own thing on it. And maybe that own thing is kind of just what makes it not so excellent.
Well, he doesn't have any idea where Finn Balor came from, or he probably hasn't seen any of his matches at all.
Oh man!
Or even like Kevin Steen, I guarantee it, he's never seen a Kevin Steen match.
So wait, you mean Vince? He probably doesn't even want to sit down and watch. And watch NXT even.
Probably not.
Wow. Hey, by the way, you mentioned Kevin Steen. His debut is going to be the 11th of December. They released a vignette. They did it without revealing the name, but I believe he's going with Kevin Owens. That's what they trademarked. They recently trademarked Kevin Owens or something like that. I think that's going to be his name. So there you go. How about that one?
Yeah, so... Get over it. You can't do a Kill Steen Kill anymore. It's not gonna be a thing.
Yeah,
it's just the way it is. They got to trademark something. I know it sucks because I've heard.
Even, I don't hate the name though.
I don't hate it. It's not a bad name.
I listened to the name Kevin Steen like before I knew who he was, and I'm like, who the hell's Kevin Steen? Like, what is, you know?
I wonder if they'll let him keep the package pile driver.
I don't know. That's gonna be a tough call.
Yeah, there really are no pile drivers anymore.
Yeah,
in WWE, they kind of washed all that away. But it'll be interesting to see if he if he keeps, because he's known for that. He's got merchandise. He's got old merchandise with that whole package pile drive everybody thing. And then, of course, you got Killsteen Kill, which is old. It's going to be gone. But I don't mind them changing names because I know it's kind of a, it's kind of bittersweet.
Yeah.
Because they made a name for themselves in the independent scene as one person, but then I can see where they need to trademark something. Well, so I can see both sides.
Call me crazy, but I actually like the name Finn Balor.
No,
I think it's
kind of
badass, man.
That is cool.
I know like some indie marks on the internet are going to like kill me, like, what? But no, I think it's a cool name.
What's wrong with Prince Devitt?
Nothing.
What's wrong with Fergal Devitt? It's his name. Big deal. But that was his New Japan name.
No, I like Finn Balor. I think it's a cool name.
It is cool.
Hideo Itami doesn't quite roll off the tongue as well, but it's all right. I don't like it as much as Finn Balor.
No, Finn Balor's better.
It's a cool name.
Yep, it's catchy. It's fast.
Yeah. So we'll see. You know, you're just going to kind of wait and see what's going to happen with these guys when they get called up. And it's just it's kind of tricky. You know, I mean, what do you want to say? It's you just got to kind of wait and see and see what they do with them and then make your own judgment then. But I see so many people online like bitching before they even see anything. And it's like,
oh, God,
they haven't done anything with the guys yet. Like, what can you possibly say? You've seen nothing.
It hasn't even been minute one.
Yeah, relax, guys.
But I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with quote Kevin Owens. I'm still calling him Kevin Steen because they really haven't said anything. It's still Kevin Steen. Kevin Steen until they put up his WWE name.
Okay, fair enough. Hey, I'll tell you what I'm excited for. Next week's Raw, well, not the anonymous Raw general manager because...
Oh, you're not excited for Michael Cole to get up there and say, can I have your attention, please?
Oh, God.
You're not excited for that nonsense?
No, and it's all this, like, you know, it's just garbage, man. I do not like the anonymous Raw general manager. I'm not a fan of it.
No, it's too cheesy. It's lame.
No, I do not want to hear this all night. There it is.
Oh, that, yeah. That was it. Oh, God, no. And then you got the stupid lights flickering.
Yeah. Okay, I'm not going to play it anymore. But
good, because we don't need an anonymous GM for Wrestling Informant.
No, we do not. but next week's Raw is going to be Cyber Monday, and I'm not excited for that, but I'm excited for what comes after Raw.
Oh, yeah.
Austin, Stone Cold Steve Austin, going to be doing a live, well, they call it live. I don't know if it's really going to be live, but a live podcast right after next week's Raw, interviewing Vince McMahon.
This is one everybody, I know I've been waiting for this. A lot of people have been waiting for Austin McMahon.
Yeah, they announced this on Survivor Series.
They did, and it is exciting because a guy like Stone Cold, who's been in the business a long time, and of course, firsthand account, working that incredible, a year and a half, two-year story with Mr. McMahon.
Oh, God, it goes longer than that, even.
Right, so, you know, it starts back in, what, 96?
Yeah.
That's where the seeds were planted, 96, and then just kept going from there, and it went all the way up to, gosh, 2003, up until, yeah, so.
It went a long time, let's just say that.
You're not going to see anything like that again. For one, you're not going to see anybody with those two characters again. Maybe come close, but nothing will eclipse it, I don't think. And two, you'll never see anything carry on for that long and still have longevity.
Yeah, and I'm just curious to see like what kind of questions they're going to have for Vince. I mean, is it just going to be like fluffy questions, or is it going to be like, you know, real actual unfiltered questions?
I hope so. I hope it's just uncensored. Well, I'm about uncensored, but anything goes. No questions off limits.
And the radio guy in me personally wants to see how they actually shoot it. Like, are they going to be like this like radio studio type setting where they each have mics, or are they just going to be lazy and put the little mics on their shirts? And that's not real podcasting. You got to have the mics, man. You got to make it look like it's a radio. That's what
like
I want to see.
Studio. Yeah, I want to see a studio.
Yeah, build a little radio studio. I'd love to see that, man. That would be awesome. But right, I'm interested
like
to see what they do.
Right, if they actually have them face-to-face or however they do it. But yeah, that's actually funny because that was kind of one of the first things that crept in my mind. Is like, how are they going to set this up?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like from a technical standpoint, it's like, how are they going to set this up? That was the first thing going through my mind. And then the fact that it was Austin McMahon went through my mind second.
And I know they'll never release these numbers, but I would love to see how many people actually stay up after 3 hours of Raw to watch these live shows. Like, I always watch them the next day. I watch half of Raw usually the next day. Like, I never stay up for the whole thing anymore. I used to, but it's just no way, especially when the show's not hot. There's no reason to stay up all night. I just watch it the next day, but...
Even the next day, like, I'll sit there and just fast forward through most of it. I'm like, I don't want to watch that. That doesn't look good. And then I fast forward through some more, and then I fast forward through some more, and the next thing you know, I was like, I give up. I can't watch anymore.
But, I just want to know, like, how many people actually stay up after three, especially on the East Coast, how many people actually stay up after 11 and they watch, like, these interesting specials that they have after the fact? Like, that's what I want to know. Like, they had this Road to Houston, the Usos special, and I watched it. It was really good, and I wish it was longer than a half an hour, but I don't know if you've seen this on the network yet, but I would recommend you go check it out, but it's really good, man. It's only half an hour, so it's not going to take much of your time, but it's a nice story about, you know, how these guys, their upbringing and how they got started in the business and how Umaga, the late, great Umaga, brought them... you know, to the wrestling world, man. I mean, believe it or not, Rikishi was not actually one that really brought them in. It was Umaga.
Yeah, that was...
their uncle.
Yeah, that was just their... Rikishi was just their main bloodline, but...
That was their dad, man.
Yeah, that was their dad. He was a lot of fun in the ring, but... yeah, Umaga, he definitely had a presence.
Yeah, man. And so the story follows them and talks about they're growing up as twins and playing football in high school with Roman Reigns and just some fascinating stuff. I think the Usos come across as really likable guys. And if you've not seen this yet, like I said, it's only half an hour. I highly recommend that you check it out. And there's other stuff coming up on the network as well. So you got the Austin Live podcast. I think they're doing another ECW Uncensored, I believe.
Yeah, they
did. Or ECW Exposed, excuse me.
ECW Exposed 2 was out, so yeah, I think they're going to do another one.
Yeah, so looking forward
to... those are always fun.
Looking forward to seeing that, man. Let's see here. Tell me about the New Japan Access TV thing.
Oh, yeah, well, Access TV, they specialize in... they're a franchise that's on, I don't know what channel they're on, but they do... weekly live, they do MMA, Muay Thai, kickboxing broadcast, things like that.
Yeah, they're owned by Mark Cuban and Ryan Seacrest.
Right, that's an interesting combo.
Yeah.
But Access TV, they get a 13-episode series for New Japan Pro Wrestling, and it starts January 16th. And that's January 16th, 2015, Friday nights at 9 Eastern.
And I'm surprised that they did not get JR for this. They're actually going to do Mauro Ranallo and Josh Barnett.
Yeah, former UFC heavyweight champion and New Japan pro wrestling veteran Josh Barnett. And Mauro Ranallo is a combat sports commentator.
Yeah.
They're going to be the English guys.
I mean, no offense to those guys. I mean, I just think with JR calling the pay-per-view, I would have almost rather seen JR. But
I know. But speaking of that pay-per-view, they're showing right here that the series premiere will feature Tanahashi defending the IWGP heavyweight title against his longtime rival, Kazuchika Okada, also known as the Rainmaker. So it looks like that they may end up replay. I don't know if that's going to be a replay or a rematch.
Right.
Because that's the main event for Wrestle Kingdom.
And
at the Tokyo Dome.
Speaking of Wrestle Kingdom, we got a press release from Global Force this week announcing that for those of you guys, I know we have listeners all over the world, Chris. So for people that are not in North America, if you're in United Kingdom and places like that, there's an app on your phone and some connected devices called Flips, and they're going to be offering the Wrestle Kingdom 9 at a price of $34.95 on this app, and this will be your way. It won't be on traditional pay-per-view like in the UK and all that. You're going to have to access it on this Flips app. So if you want to see Jim Ross calling the action, and you're not in the North America region, you're going to have to get the Flips app. So there you go. That's the latest on the Wrestle Kingdom 9, since you mentioned it. It brought up...
Right.
I was like, oh, hey, by the way, yeah, it's great.
Yeah. I was going to say, and it looks like Access TV, they have it on, it looks like it's UVerse, Charter, Comcast, Xfinity, DirecTV, Dish, so all the major players
except
in your TV
me.
Service. except for you.
I have Cox Communications. And
oh, no, you're out.
Yeah. I don't know why. I think we're like one of the only systems that does not have access.
Well, I'll have to check DirecTV to see if it's in my subscription.
But I have a login to DirecTV. A buddy of mine hooked me up with it so I can watch access.
Nice.
Because they're always showing, like, they have, like, the Gotham Comedy Club. They've got, like, stand-up comics that do live shows there. They've got, of course, the MMA stuff. So I've always wanted to watch this channel, but I've never had access to it. But my buddy Ozzy hooked me up with it, so I'm able to actually watch it on my iPad. So that's good.
Very nice.
Thank you, Ozzy. I do appreciate you, sir. let's see. What else? WWE 2K15, Chris. We were asked about this last week. I know you do not have it. I just got it. We were doing the show last week, and I just got it. And man, oh man, I suck at this game. I have to say it.
I was waiting for you to say, "Man, this game's awesome! It's so great." But the first thing is, man, I suck.
No, it is fun. The graphics are great. I wish the roster was a little bit bigger, but I'm sure they're going to add a lot of DLC.
Oh, I'm sure.
I got the season pass with it, so I'm good. I got a hell of a deal where you get the game and the season pass, and it's like a digital download. So,
oh, that's right. We went on your Xbox One and just downloaded it straight from the store, right?
Yeah. When we were done with the show, which we were on for about an hour, it was already done. That was it.
Wow.
So it was ready to play, and I logged on. I checked it out. We're not a video game show, but I'll just say very, very quickly, I kind of like the idea of digital downloads. I wish they were a little bit cheaper, but it's kind of nice to download a game and have it ready for you within an hour. I mean, it's pretty awesome. But yeah, the game's fun. I haven't dove into any of the story modes yet. I know there's a lot of stuff you can unlock through those, but I'm kind of impatient. I like to just unlock everything at once.
get
all my right characters and arenas and all that stuff. So I've got a lot more to check it out. I'll have a full review on the show probably in a couple weeks when I've had more time to dive into it. But on the surface, it's a lot of fun. And if you have Xbox One, we can play GC The Shoot. So check it out. Also, Chris, before we wrap up, we're going to have some listener questions here in a couple minutes. But also TNA announcing their first tapings for Destination America. The ticket's going to go on sale next Friday, December the 5th. They're going to be doing three nights in New York at the Manhattan Center, which is going to be January 7th through 9th. And again, you can get the tickets next Friday, December the 5th. And I think New York was probably the most successful at the time that they've had. And with a new network, maybe they can hit the reset button again, and perhaps they'll do some good stuff.
Perhaps.
So
it's gonna be interesting to see if they just go back because if they hit the reset button, they're in New York again to see if they go back again to the old go back to the well one more time.
Well, as long as we don't have Tommy Dreamer coming out talking about 1997 ECW, we'll be all right. Yeah. So as far as Impact with Spike TV, they sent out a press release stating that the last couple of weeks in December are going to be best of. So on December 3rd, which is next week, and December 10th, you're going to get the best of this year TNA Impact. And then on the 17th and 24th, they're going to have a countdown spanning 2 weeks, counting down to the all-time best TNA moments, which will include some stuff never before aired on Spike. So you got like probably old Fox Sports Net and the Wednesday pay-per-view era as well. So for fans of TNA, the next 4 weeks, they're going to be in reruns, and then they're going to be launching live on Destination America next year. So there you go, guys. That is the latest for TNA. And Chris, I think we've got some listener questions that are waiting for us here.
Yes, we do. And the first one comes to a great listener, Jimmy Baselis.
Jimmy Baselis, yes. He's written to us before. We do appreciate that. Yep. Shout out to Jimmy Baselis.
Yeah, he's got a couple. He starts out with the pit. Well, I agree with this. Last Monday night was horrible. Do you think Vince Russo has to go back to make the WWE good again?
Well,
do they need Vince Russo?
To be fair, Jimmy, I don't think that The greatness of WWE is all Vince Russo's doing. You certainly need, certainly had the filter of Vince McMahon. Everything has to go through Vince. Do I think that Russo could come up with some interesting ideas? Perhaps. I know that's not the most popular thing to say on the internet, but I'm all for different, ideas. But I don't know that this idea that Russo coming back would instantly make everything great. I just don't know if that's true. And I don't know that Russo would want to work in an environment where you've got so many writers. I mean, they got what, like 25 people on the writing staff now. So
right, it's like a whole roundtable type of thing, and he'd just be another voice that probably get ignored. And I don't think Russo is the end all be all.
Yeah, I don't think he is either. You got to think about it too. It's quite the contrast. I mean, when you think about it, I mean, when Russo was writing for the company, it was his vision along with Vince, Vince McMahon.
Yeah, he had no filter. He didn't have to filter through an entire team.
Just filtered through Vince. That was it. And then they brought in Ed Ferrara, who actually, I don't want to announce this too prematurely, but I've been talking to Ed, and he'll be on the show in the new year. So excited for that. He's making the podcast rounds, and I've talked to him, and he will be on the show. Vince and Ed, it's kind of like those two with the filter of Vince McMahon. But now if you drop Vince Russo in the current thing now, you've got like 25 of the writers that they've got to go through, and I just don't know if that's a good idea. So,
I don't think so either.
What's the next question we got there?
Another one from Jimmy. Let's see. He says, I prefer to see the authority for the next 5 years instead of that stupid anonymous GM. What do you think? So if you had your choice, so it sounds like it's Sophie's choice here. Would you rather have the authority for the next 5 years or the anonymous GM?
Can I write in my own choice?
I want to. Can we have neither? Neither of these.
Can we have no heel authority figures? Because let's be honest, the anonymous GM does get kind of heelish from time to time.
A little bit.
If not, mostly.
And then that turns Michael Cole a little heel.
Yeah,
at the same time, simultaneous heel turn.
I don't like that. So I'm not a big fan of the anonymous GM. I'm not too big on the authority also because of the way that the wrestlers are around them, like from a storyline perspective, like nobody's really able to kind of like, talk down, talk back to them. It's like the authority kind of dresses them down in this way that just makes them feel insignificant. And, just the way that they talk to them, like the thing with Big Show, like, oh, you're not going to have a job. And like, whatever happened to the outlaws, the wrestlers who were like outlaws, the guys who would, go out there and just, kick people's asses. Like, that's what I want to see. Not Stephanie McMahon telling them about their job. Like, everybody's got to bow down to the authority, and nobody really gets their comeuppance. I mean, John Cena a little bit, but we're not seeing enough of these wrestlers being able to stand up to the authority. They're never really given a chance. It's not written in the storyline to have them really get a chance to stand up to them, except for the last, little bit here, like when Randy Orton finally stood up to them, by attacking them. But if you notice, it's really only Cena and Orton. I mean, that's what I'm trying to get to. So, Jeremy Rhodes, the Crossroads Barbecue, wants to know, who is the Raw anonymous Raw general manager? That's simple. It's Hornswoggle. Remember?
Yeah.
He asks. So that's that. It was Hornswoggle. I hope WWE remembers that. I mean, they did reveal him as the anonymous Raw general manager. Remember?
Yeah, because they pulled him out from under the ring.
Yeah, so it's Hornswoggle. There you go. That was a simple answer. See that? You can
that
ask
was
questions.
Easy answer.
When is CM Punk coming back?
I'll say, do you think they even change that up a little bit? Do you think they make somebody new?
I don't know. They kept that a secret for the longest time. Who was the anonymous Raw general manager? So I'm wondering how long the secret will go. But we'll see. Maybe Hornswoggle will be out there next week. Maybe the anonymous GM isn't permanent, and maybe it'll just be something to where it'll be 1 week and they'll pull him out of the ring again. Although I'm hopeful that they will end it next week, but I just kind of worry about that actually.
Right, because And I'm trying to think of who would be, if they had to go, if they went with a general manager role. Yeah. I'm not saying heel general manager, but I'm trying to think who would be a suitable GM, or if it's even needed since the shows are so blended. Because it wouldn't just be a Raw GM, it would be a Raw and SmackDown GM.
Yeah, well, I think for the next few weeks, we're going to see them kind of go in autopilot, because we're getting into December. They're not going to really kick up any major stories, because they're going to want to wait. And my big prediction is I think they're going to want to wait until Royal Rumble time. So I think we're going to see them kind of in autopilot through the end of the year, and maybe we'll get some guest appearances. Maybe we'll see Big Johnny come back for a night. Maybe they'll bring out all the worst GMs. Who knows? But maybe it'll just be the anonymous Raw GM for the next 4 weeks, and it just annoys the hell out of all of us. And then Vince comes out at the beginning of the year, and it's a new year, and all of a sudden they make major announcements at the beginning of the new year, perhaps.
Right, I'm thinking that they'll just because they'll get through TLC, and I think that's one of those things. Well, they'll just kind of get through it, and then focus on the Rumble.
Yeah. When is CM Punk coming back? I would say, I don't want to say never. Never say never, but I don't know, man. He's writing comic books. That's his thing now, so.
Yeah, he's doing his thing, and that's it.
Let's see. Why don't we see more of Heyman Hustle? We just saw him on Sunday.
Right, he was there. He was all over.
Yeah, he was all over the pre-show, and I think they're going to just keep him off until Brock comes back, which will be probably right around the Royal Rumble. I think Brock is booked for the Raw here in D.C., the Slammies on the 29th. Or is the Slammies another week? But I know Raw is going to be here on the 29th. I know that for sure. I know Brock is booked for that. He's advertised for that anyway, so perhaps he'll show his face. We'll see. WWF Josh wants to know, pick your Survivor Series team of the 80s, 90s, and current era. Who would survive? So I'm trying to interpret the question. So are you saying pick one team from any Survivor Series and who's going to survive? Like, are we going to see whose team?
Well, like a Survivor Series dream team?
That I don't know. I feel like he wants to know.
If we had to pick five guys
from these eras, okay.
Right. It could be any five guys from that entire span. That's the way I interpret that question.
Okay. Well, how would you not just put Hogan, Austin, Cena, Rock, and Undertaker?
I'd put Macho Man in there.
Oh, yeah. Macho Man. Damn. I forgot about Macho. Okay. Well, who's your five? I just named my five.
Okay. So I'd have Macho Man.
Yeah.
I would have. Oh, let's see. I'd have Cena.
Okay, yeah, Cena.
John Cena. Yeah, I have John Cena. I have Macho Man. I'd have Daniel Bryan.
Oh, okay, Daniel Bryan, yeah.
I'll put Daniel Bryan in there. And Bret Hart.
Okay, I think you need one more.
I need one more. Hogan.
Okay,
'80s Hogan. '80s Hogan.
All right, so I said Hogan, Austin, Cena, Rock, Undertaker, and you had Hogan, Bret, Brian, Macho Man. Who was the fifth guy?
Who did I say?
Now you don't remember.
I don't even remember. I can't rewind, folks.
Okay, well, who would win in that team? I think my team would win easily, right?
Yeah, probably.
Well, you got 80s Hogan, so I guess I got to pick a different Hogan, right? So I'll just say Hollywood Hogan or something.
There you go. Yeah, you got Hollywood Hogan.
Damn it, I'm stuck with Hollywood Hogan. Damn it.
Oh, nice. There, congratulations.
Right before WCW started to really suck.
Right. At least it wasn't 2002 Hollywood Hogan.
Oh, yeah, that's even worse.
From the regurged NWO.
The regurge.
Yep.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap it up. It's a holiday weekend here for us. It's starting up here at midnight with Thanksgiving and rolling on through Black Friday. So if you're listening to us at any point during the holiday weekend, man, we hope you guys have a safe and happy holidays. Chris, where can they find you on Twitter?
You can find me at Chris McManamy.
All right. And I'm at Gary Cantrell. Join the membership site, $2.99. It makes a great Christmas gift or any gift or something like that.
Something rather.
Yeah. So wrestlingforward.com/membership. Check that out. See what we got to offer there. You know, bonus podcasts throughout the week, shoot interviews dating back to 2007. So many, it'll take you weeks to get through all of them. They're great. And that's, I mean, that's pretty much it right there. So, we'll be back next week, and hopefully Raw will get better, right? It's got to get better, right?
Yeah. Hopefully it doesn't suck.
Yeah. Oh,
and maybe not better. Maybe it just doesn't suck.
And finally, I was looking at the reviews for us on iTunes, wrestlinginformer.com/iTunes. I just want to say thank you so much to, everybody who's left a review thus far. And, if you could, if you really like the show and you want to help us out, help us with the ranking, we love 5 stars. Leave us a review and tell people what you think about the show. What do you like about the show? And let people know that it's out there, man. Help spread the word. The show's growing every week, and so we do appreciate that. So thank you guys so much for your support, and we'll see you again next week. Thanks, guys.